This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Number 59. I'm Veronica Belmont,
and I'm Tom Merritt,
and this is going to be the Game of Thrones podcast today.
Kind of is.
Not really. I know.
Yeah. I mean, what else are we going to talk about? Right? There's, and honestly, just looking at the news, it's like the Game of Thrones vacuum has been happening. Nobody is really talking about much of anything else in all of our usual locations.
Mm-hmm. So, if you haven't seen the first episode of the HBO series and you haven't read the books, now would be a good time to not listen to this podcast.
Or at least like fast forward about halfway through till you hear us talking about the calendar.
Yeah, then you should be okay. So we watched Game of Thrones last night. It was awesome.
It was. I have to say they have done an excellent job of capturing the general sense that I felt. My only complaint, if I'm going to have a complaint, is that it almost doesn't give you enough. And I think that's just a matter of the fact that it's only an hour long.
You think they're simplifying things too much?
Well, I don't think they're simplifying things too much, but I'm already like, let's go. Let's see what happens. It's almost just that I'm impatient to see what else is going to go along. So in the first episode, you see the wall. You see Winterfell. Mm-hmm. And you see Pentos. And a little bit of the Dothraki Sea. That's mostly just them near Pentos.
Well, I think correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the Dothraki Sea supposed to just be the Plainlands?
Yeah,
show that at all.
Yeah, exactly. We just see the Dothraki. We don't see the Dothraki Sea. But we do get a little piece of them. In the marriage ceremony,
a lot of pieces of them.
And that's another thing. I wonder if it's going to turn people off. I mean, this is being very blunt about the society, the way the book is, which is, you know, there's sex and there are boobs and there's violence and there's beheadings and blood spilling out. You know, it's not a pretty show by any stretch.
Mm-hmm. I actually asked Twitter what were some people's favorite parts and least favorite parts about the show, and I forgot to compile them into the show notes, but I can read a few parts of them now. McCandy says, least favorite Game of Thrones change in the book on Daenerys' wedding night, Drogo's no is a question, and Danny says yes. And this is one of the parts that I think is really confusing for a lot of people who read the books and then watched the show. The wedding night scene between Daenerys and Drogo really comes off like a rape scene.
Yeah.
In the show. And yeah, it was not her first choice of things, you know, to go down on her wedding night, but she actually kind of came around to it, you know, before the action got started.
He,
in the book,
is not like, you know, a super sensitive lover in the book, but he does try to get her cooperation.
Mm-hmm. He gives her cooperation,
and he won't do anything until she does. In the television show, I guess you don't really have the time, and it would be kind of hard to show.
All she would have had to said was what she said in the book, which was
Yeah, I know they made no attempt.
Yeah,
it turned it into a very different situation, and we were talking about this after we watched it yesterday, but I felt like there was a lot more resistance, a lot more feeling that she had been tricked from Daenerys into this wedding, and y'all had said that she knew it was coming, and I recall that now. But I got a lot more sense reading it that she was digging in her heels and did not want to do this. And in the TV show, it just felt like she was sort of, well, I don't really want to do this, but
well, that's okay. Another thing. I noticed a lot of people saying that they felt like there was a lack of strong female characters in the first episode. And I can kind of see by the way they've rewritten some of this stuff how people might get to that point.
Yeah, Kat is much stronger than she appeared in this episode.
So far, yeah.
But I don't have a big problem with that because there aren't a lot of opportunities in this episode for her to show her strength.
Mm-hmm. Not yet. I mean, as we all know, it's been broken up pretty significantly so they can make episodes out of it.
Yeah.
So that part makes sense. Let me see if I can find another good... Well, everyone seemed to love the intro. The opening credits.
The credits are very nice, and the plan is if you if you saw it, you know that they showed King's Landing, they showed Winterfell, they showed the Wall, they showed Pentos, and the idea is that you're going to be introduced into what areas of the world they're going to be highlighting in each episode by that map. So the opening credits will be a little different depending on what stories are going to be told in that episode. And I guess we got King's Landing in this one because there's a brief scene between Cersei and Jaime that happens in King's Landing.
Yeah, and I think that scene actually happens in Winterfell in the books. And I think
also,
they moved it to King's Landing, I don't know, maybe for pacing reasons.
And don't the Starks ride out and meet Robert?
Like, I don't remember that.
And before they come into Winterfell?
I'm not sure.
Maybe they ride out with them. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, we had another Twitter comment from Prendon, too, who said his favorite part was the intro. His least favorite, my favorite character, Tyrion, seemed to be a bit of a caricature of his true character.
Yeah, I heard somebody remark, why is Tyrion so pretty? Like, isn't he supposed to be a hideous hunchback? And they got rather a dashing guy to play him.
That's so true.
You know, it's they definitely
they TV'd him up a little bit.
They hired a very good actor, mm-hmm. who I think is going to prove to be a very very adept at this. But I have to admit, when I was reading Tyrion, I pictured him more as sort of a take of Gimli from Lord of the Rings. You know, it's sort of a bearded, kind of gnarled looking dude with a big old hunch. And yeah, you're not seeing much of a hunch in this guy.
Our friend Alden O'Neill says, seeing the hound and then not seeing the hound.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, actually, I'm fine not seeing the hound because I know we're going to see him later in his element. But it was a nice little thing to be like, oh, there's the hound
with his
hound helmet. And he's ugly. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even see him, right? We just saw the helmet.
No, I thought he was speaking to Tyrion later on when the guy whose face was all messed up.
Oh yeah, with the hair, with the lack of hair. Oh, that was him. Okay, I missed that. That didn't click in my mind for some reason.
I'm pretty sure that's who that was.
No, that had to be wrong. That was definitely him because he's scared of fire and because he got
exactly.
I don't want to spoil it. It's so hard not to spoil things.
I know. I was doing a little subtle spoiler homage about Jamie while we were watching it.
Yeah, that was hard. We watched it with a large group of people, more than half of which had not read the books. And I think it was most difficult for me to not try to explain things as they were happening.
That was one thing. And talking to the people who haven't read the books who watched the TV show, I think they enjoyed it. They thought it was very interesting. Most reviews were positive, but man, were they more confused about things that I thought were clear than I expected. Not knowing that Pentos was actually across the sea, mm-hmm. for instance, and that Daenerys and all of her things were taking place on another continent. Not really understanding what the King's Hand was, that was actually going to assist Robert. Not understanding that Robert had been in love with Eddard's sister. And
I don't think that even comes out until later in the books.
Yeah,
I think she's a relative of the Starks. But I don't know if they tell that she's his sister right away.
And not a lot of people didn't catch on that Jaime and Cersei were sister and brother.
I know. That was the funniest part. People were like, so wait,
what was the big deal with that?
Were they related?
And there's another change that I don't hate, but is a little disappointing. Bran should have heard them planning murder, not just caught them having sex. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pivotal point. And
maybe they'll expand.
It's not pivotal to the turning of the plot, but it's pivotal to his character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Terp Kristen enjoyed her favorite part was seeing Arya shoot better than Bran.
Yeah, I love Arya. Arya is my favorite character. I love
Arya. She's one of the best. That's for sure. How cute were those dogs?
Oh my gosh.
The direwolves?
Yes, the direwolves were fantastic. We didn't get enough of them. I hope we're going to, I know we're going to see more of them in future episodes.
I read that there was a training problem.
Was there?
Perhaps the dogs weren't as trainable as they would have liked.
Well, they're direwolves. What do you expect?
Well, yes.
They're going to do whatever they want.
I was totally nerding out. It was either Roger, I think it was Roger today when we were talking on the Texilla set. He was like, well, dire wolves are supposed to be really big. And Serafina and I were like, yeah, but they were puppies. And he was like, well, they're supposed to be like really, really big.
Yes.
Well, they'll probably be bigger in later episodes when they're no longer puppies.
That's why they talked about how fast they grow, because these dogs are only a few weeks old and they're already like, you know, 1 year old size.
It's like, well, I don't see how they're going to make them look that big. Like, well, it's television.
Well, why don't you watch and find out?
So shut your face and watch the show and all will be explained. So yeah, I think overall it was a success. I think a lot of people may have been turned off by the incest and the over boobification of the show, but it's HBO. What do you expect?
Yeah, that is one of the things they're known for.
What do you expect? There's going to
be boobs. The B in HBO is for box, for a home box office, but sometimes people get confused.
Nice one. Did you just come up with that just now?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So as we mentioned previously, Joe Abercrombie went to L.A. to have a little chat with George R. R. Martin about the making of the TV series and of the books. And the Wurt Zone is wondering, as we all have been, when this is going to be on the television or in some kind of online form. Because I would love to hear that interview.
UK fans get to see it or have seen it. During the premiere, which is Monday night at 9 p.m. on Sky Atlantic. That's their like little bonus program before the show begins.
Not fair.
We got at 15 minutes till, we got a little behind-the-scenes interview that was half other HBO shows. They kept breaking away. I'm like, you don't have to run commercials, and it's only 15 minutes, so really, you're only given us 7 minutes of actual Game of Thrones content, and the rest is about Boardwalk Empire and some Hemingway
and
thing.
Inception. I kept showing scenes from Inception.
Like, what does this have to do with anything? Show us the freaking Joe Abercrombie, Joe R. 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 Martin interview. Heaven's sakes.
That would have been really nice. But
I have to say, HBO's been very good with their promotional materials. The scent kit was interesting. The food cart was interesting. So for the most part, I can't blame them. I'm just mad about this one thing.
I wish we could get someone from the show on our show.
Yes.
I wonder if we could try to hit them up to try to get an interview with someone. That'd be awesome.
I'll have to stop complaining about their bonus programming. And then maybe we can try.
You're ruining everything. But in all their HBO news, actually, apparently Neil Gaiman, American Gods, is being optioned to become a TV series. Or is it a film or a TV series?
No, it's going to be a TV series on HBO. I mean, the fact that Game of Thrones and Walking Dead and all of these sorts of shows seem to be catching on means they're looking around at other geek works and trying to figure out what would make a good show. So Gaiman is co-writing the script with Robert Richardson. Richardson, if you don't know, has won a couple Oscars. He worked on JFK and The Aviator. And it looks like Tom Hanks is set to produce.
Wow. So Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's really cool because unlike something like Game of Thrones, which is, or Walking Dead, either one, that they can kind of stretch forever and you almost feel like the TV show is probably going to run out of steam before they get to the end of the story somehow. American Gods is very compact. Mm-hmm. You know
it's
exactly
long
how
book.
Long that's going to take. So you only got two or three seasons worth of stuff in there, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. It might be, I'm excited to see how they do that first initial scene in the hotel room with the Egyptian
yes.
goddess and.
Well, you know, stuff. Maybe they can take a few tips from True Blood.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I saw that scene for the first time last night. Man, it was a night of firsts for me. Gotta say.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, we saw the True Blood episode with the neck twisting. And people had warned me about that episode, and I haven't watched the whole series because I'm a big freaking chicken, and I get scared very easily.
And you've read the books.
I've read all the books.
All of the Sookie Stackhouse books.
Now that I have HBO, I think I'm going to try to start watching the show more often.
Yeah, and you have a cable operator that provides the HBO Go, so you could go catch up on demand online.
Can you go back and watch earlier episodes?
Online, you can.
Sweet.
Unless you're stuck with DirecTV like me,
this
then you're out of luck.
I have never had HBO in my entire life, and so this whole thing is like a whole new world for me. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm like, wow, these shows look really good.
I don't want to get us too far off track, but HBO, we got HBO when we first signed up for cable in 1981.
Wow.
And we just thought it was amazing. And then my dad canceled it. He's like, nah, it's not worth the money. But so, you know, we were watching The Jazz Singer and My Bodyguard and The Elephant Man over and over and over because they only had four or five movies and they just run them all one after the other for a couple of days before they'd switch them out.
The Elephant Man.
I know.
Poor guy.
With John Merrick.
Yes. All right, well, we have already burned like 15 minutes of the show just talking about HBO, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
They've gotten their advertising dollars out of us for today.
Let's do another American Gods story then. HarperCollins is recording a special full cast audio edition of American Gods, meaning that different people speak the different parts. And they're offering a speaking role to lucky Gaiman fans. The winner gets coached by Neil Gaiman. Or as they put it on Boing Boing, by at Neil himself. So you could win a speaking role. You've got to go on and learn the rules to participate at neilgaiman.bookperk.com. And right now, Rachel P. is number one with 291 votes. But someone we know, Brad Strickland, father of John Strickland, is number two with 239 votes.
Yes, so we are going in Strickland camp, Camp Brad S. And so if you guys want to vote, you do have to fill out... you can just do it with Facebook. I'm just going to do it with Facebook for now. I'm doing it right now. I'm going to vote for Brad S. Oh, I still have to create an account.
Yeah.
Do I like John enough to go through with creating an account on bookperk.com? Mm.
We'll find out on the next episode of The Sword and Laser.
If Brad S. wins, it's because, yes, I decided. I took the time and created an account on bookperk.com.
Then we'll know for sure. All right, let's check in on the calendar real quick. Nothing new from the last episode, so we'll just run through it real quick for those of you who may have missed last week. April 19th, that's today, I'm guessing, that we're putting the show out, Tuesday,
no,
April 19th.
No, it'll probably go up tonight, but you'll probably listen to it.
You're listening to it on Tuesday, April 19th. Yeah. So today, The River of Shadows by Robert V.S. Reddick is out. April 21st, a couple days from now, The Dragon's Path by Daniel Abraham, both UK and USA releases. April 26th, Will Supervillains Be on the Final by Naomi Novik? You're not going to want to miss that one. Titus Awakes by Mervyn Peake and Maeve Gilmore comes to the U.S. on April 28th. You're going to have to wait till July 7th in the U.K. for that one. And then something that's already out in the UK, The Inheritance by Veronica Belmont's favorite, Robin Hobb, comes out here in the US May 3rd.
I don't know if she's my favorite anymore. She kind of let me down on one of her last trilogies.
Oh, so breaking news. But yeah. She's still among your favorites.
Definitely among my favorites.
Okay.
For sure. All right, well, now it's time for Barrier Sword, which is our feedback from the audience. So, of course, we are currently reading Blind Sight by Peter Watts, and I believe it was Alden O'Neill who started a thread about post-sex society and what that means for people. He says, so, I suppose it should make sense that a post-human society would also be a post-intercourse society, but it absolutely doesn't to me. So far, in my reading, it's only been generally explored what sex actually is in Blindsight's world, but I personally can't fathom humanity going on without physical contact. There is a discussion in the novel about adversity leading to technology leading to belligerence, but I've always held to the logic of Walter Mego's Girls, the chorus of which goes, "Everything I do it for a girl." Can you imagine a society without old-fashioned sex? See also Demolition Man.
I was thinking Demolition Man as well. Matthew responds, "This is a tough one to discuss, I suppose, being that our only conduit for the experience in a book is a person who seems to have no emotional capacity, our main character, Siri."
Good
he says,
point.
"I guess, though, it comes down to a lot to the discussion and utility of love. Presumably in this world, you can achieve not only all of your physical desires, but all your emotional ones through some sort of AI. We can see Siri struggle with the imperfections of Chelsea, though. While she revels in it, he is perplexed." There is that passage near the end where he discusses their breakup, and then there's a spoiler that we won't go into. I think that what Siri and Chelsea are getting at is the different approaches to what love means. I haven't got, and I'm only about halfway, a little over halfway through Blindsight. I haven't got the impression that sex being different means that that it's a society without girls. "Everything I do it for girls," says Alden O'Neill. I think you still can see that happen.
Tom, sex doesn't necessarily mean girls.
Well, or guys. I'm just I'm trying to speak in shorthand, so forgive my gender bias in this. I'm just going on what Alden O'Neill said. But in other words, what they've done is say, well, you can get all your sexual needs fulfilled in this other way, this sort of vague way that doesn't involve physical content, and then you can still fall in love with someone and have a great relationship with them, and maybe even a better relationship with them, because that part doesn't get in the way and complicate things. And what he finds weird about Chelsea is that she wants to have a physical relationship, even with all of its flaws and acne and weirdness. And he thinks that, you know, she's just trying to manipulate him into being the way she wants him.
She's old school.
Yeah. And he doesn't see the percentage in it. He's not sure. He's not getting much out of it. He thinks the other way is cleaner and more satisfying.
Yeah, Sean says we should jailbreak our minds and just think of all the cool stuff you could do. You can make your mind do without the constraints of evolutionary biology. And it's true, right? I mean, if you have the ability to put your hand on a sensor and suddenly have all of your nerve endings and all of your receptors in your brain going full throttle, why bother with the physical side of things?
Right, and that's where Demolition Man comes in, right? Like, it's all in the brain in Demolition Man. You sit fully clothed with the device plugged into your head right next to the person that you want to, you know, have a relationship with. And then you both just have, like, crazy things happening in your mind. And there's no transmission of disease, and there's no messiness, and there's no disappointment, and it all works great. And I think, you know, you start to get
sounds okay to me.
You start to get into a debate of like, yes, but is that real, right? Is it really satisfying? And I think that's what Chelsea represents, is that opposing view of like, I am going to be the person, the Luddite, who says, no, it's too sterile, it's too antiseptic. And actually, Sylvester Stallone takes that part in Demolition Man and says, that's ridiculous, that's not sex. You know, you get something out of the physicality of it that can't be replicated just in the mind.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. I think people fool themselves about sex and relationships so much anyway.
Yeah.
That just being able to access those parts of your mind within technological means, might as well. Why not?
Well, but then you could also...
You can still have relationship bonds with people where you're like spending real time with them or talking to them.
And Blindsight touches on this, you know, it's like, oh, well, you just boost the oxytocin level a little and then you get on just fine with your relationship, too. And that doesn't have to be real either. And there is a part of me, and I think a part of most people, that rebels at the idea of it all being faked and that it's not real and that you lose something in that.
But what I'm saying is, how do we know what is real?
Anyway. That's a very good point. Yeah. We're all existing just inside a little part of our cortex for the most part anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who knows? So that's definitely an interesting
none of this is
exercise.
Happening. Anyway.
We're not really friends, Tom.
We're not even here.
No.
We're in a simulation.
So I just wanted to make a point before we continued to the next discussion, well, before we leave Blindsight. So, Halbit 42. Little note about your thread on the Blindsight group. So the title of your thread was, "What Was Happening on Earth Spoiled?" I didn't know that that meant that you were going to say the ending to the book in the first sentence of your post.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. Both Tom and I have now had that part of the book spoiled for us because of that. So, you know, make good use of the spoiler tags.
And the way I got spoiled, Halbit 42 may not have anticipated, right? Because if I'm on the Goodreads main page, he wrote, "Spoiler, what was happening on Earth?"
No. I reversed the order of the words.
Oh, I'm sorry. He wrote, "What was happening on Earth?" Spoiler, right.
Spoiled, so, not spoiler.
We can debate whether you should have clicked through on that or not, but I think your point is very good. I, on the other hand, was reading the digest in my email,
mm-hmm.
and so I was just scanning by and saw, you know, what was happening on Earth spoiled. So I got that, and I'm already spoiled.
Yeah,
I didn't have a chance to stop. And so now me and Veronica, are going to be just like all those people in those long spoiler threads that are really annoying and complain about
whining
spoilers.
Whining about the spoilers.
Yeah.
We ain't mad at you. We ain't mad at you. I know this happens. It's just,
yeah.
We all need to be a little cognizant of when discussing things in the forums to make sure you at least give people a little time. A little time before you throw out the ending of the book in the first sentence of your thread.
Or use the very handy dandy spoiler tag, which
we all discovered 2 weeks ago.
if you're in the comment box, it says some HTML is okay to the right above the box. You click on that, it will show you the spoiler tags are a left bracket spoiler, right bracket. Put in the things that you think are spoilers, and then left bracket slash spoiler right bracket.
Close that tag.
So it's just like doing HTML tags, but even if you're not familiar with HTML tags, you can click on that and see what it's supposed to look like, and you just put whatever is spoilery between those two tags, and then someone will have to click on it to be able to see it.
So I got that off my chest. I feel better
all right.
now. Sorry, Halbit 42. I'm not trying to yell at you. Just let me know.
No worries, Halbit 42. No hard feelings.
I should go into his thread and actually put that tag around his first sentence, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you probably should.
I have that power as the moderator.
Wow, really?
It's just a tag.
You're powerful.
I know. I'm drunk with power.
I'm going to put spoiler tags around everything.
So, the next thread in our discussion group, Anne started one about, did you ever read a book that you really hated?
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting because I couldn't think of a book that I really hated. Even as much as I, you know, made fun of Insomnia by Stephen King last week, I didn't hate the book. Anne says she always finishes a book whether she's liking it or not. And I am like that. I plow through to the end whether I'm liking the book or not. I just keep at it. And I know there's probably a couple back there that I didn't really like, but I can't remember. I've wiped them from my memory, I guess.
Yeah, I can think of a couple. Memoirs.
Memoirs? Found in a bathtub, perhaps?
Memoirs.
You hated that.
I kind of think I hated it.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I just never finished it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I have another one. I wouldn't say I hated this one. But I hated it enough that I didn't finish it. Can you guess which one?
No.
The Moon is a Harsh Mistress.
You never ended up finishing that,
never
huh?
Never finished. Didn't like it.
Didn't. See, I always finish. I always finish the book.
Well, that just goes to show we're different people, Tom.
Well, I guess we have proved that even if this is a simulation, we at least are different people.
So Anne hated The Amber Spyglass by Philip Pullman. Was that the second or the third?
That's the third. And she pointed out, she's like, I actually really liked the first one a lot. And the reason she hated the third one so much is that she felt disappointed with the way it ended.
Mm-hmm. Also didn't like The Black Swan, The Impact of the Highly Improbable. Haven't read it yet, but did not like the writing style. among other things.
Mm-hmm.
Said the writer sounded like a whiny kid. And then, I don't know how to pronounce this. It's a collection of German short stories. Sommerhaus Sparta.
Perhaps. Nine. I don't know.
Nine.
You know, the only books that I can think, Ich bin ein Berliner.
Guten Abend.
The only things that I could think that I really didn't like were television novels. Like, those, there's some novels based on television series, like Star Trek Next Generation books, or based on movies like Star Wars books. The many of them are great.
Oh, you have one here. Naked on Roller Skates by Max Bodenheim.
Oh, yes, I did
you
post that.
You answered that thread.
That's so hilarious. I forgot I answered that. Naked on Roller Skates by Maxwell Bodenheim is so bad it's fun, though. That's
that
right.
Count.
I forgot. Wow, I'm getting senile.
But it was fun, but you still hated it?
It's so horrible that you just start laughing at how awful the prose is. It was written in the 1920s or early 30s by this poet in New York who really just had a lot of rich friends. He was in that whole F. Scott Fitzgerald crowd, and he got published somehow. But the prose is so overwrought and so awful. It's just amazing. I took a road trip with a friend of mine, and we took turns reading passages of it to each other, not because we were trying to follow the story, but just it was so amazing how awful and overwrought the writing was.
Pester had a pretty good list. Rancid Aluminum by James Hawes. Interview with the Vampire, Anne Rice. Merlin.
Aww, I like that.
Stephen Lawhead. And Ozone by Paul Thoreau.
Mm.
So that's a pretty substantial list. How can I, you know, I've never read Interview with a Vampire, but I have a feeling I'd probably enjoy it.
Yeah, no, and people have their own reasons and their own tastes, so I'm not, you know, trying to disrespect, but that is one that I enjoyed, and I don't even necessarily love the whole Anne Rice series, but I thought Interview wasn't bad.
All right, well, that's all our last barrier sword for now. I mean, I'm not that far into Blindsight yet. I'm about a quarter of the way through, so I didn't want to go into too many discussion threads because I didn't want the book to be spoiled.
But at this point into the book, are you feeling overwhelmed by the intensity of the descriptions and the sort of really hard sci-fi aspect of it? Or are you getting along okay?
Is it hard sci-fi? I don't know if I feel like it is hard sci-fi.
I believe it's hard sci-fi because everything is based on real science, and real science means not just the spaceship stuff, but the biological stuff and the psychological stuff they're all rooted in real phenomena. Some of it, you know, is unlikely, but what the way he goes into a very detailed description of how the vampires end up existing. And how we bring them back, and why they died out, and it's interesting. It all ties in. It's not just, oh, vampires have existed because they're mystical.
That's kind of like trying to explain Game of Thrones to people last night to bring this podcast full circle.
Yeah.
My friend Christy, who has not read the books, was like, I thought there was a note when we first see the White Walkers, which, by the way, are not called the Others. This is another thing. Possibly, maybe, because of Lost.
I've heard that speculation, and it makes sense to me is that if they called them the Others, everyone would go, oh, so you're just ripping off Lost, even though it's the other way around.
Mm. She was confused because she was like, I thought there was no supernatural stuff in this show. I'm like, no, there's a difference between it being like a gritty, realistic fantasy versus there just not being any magic.
Because yeah.
there's magical stuff going on eventually. But it's not like throw magic in your face kind of fantasy.
Well, and you see the White Walkers very rarely.
High fantasy.
Most of the world is not filled with White Walkers, but it is, of course, the first thing you see in the TV version.
Yeah. Well, I could talk about that show all night, so we should probably end it.
No, let's thank Nicole Spagnuolo, who helped get together our iTunes app for Sword and Laser, now available in the iTunes store.
Yay! So go in there, check it out, and make sure you give it a good rating if you enjoy it. The one thing I want to point out is that the forums on the app are not the forums from Goodreads. They're the forums from Extra Life's forums, the Frog Pants Network. So there might be a little confusion there. I'm trying to figure out if we can get an RSS feed for the Goodreads forum so we can put it into the app.
The app has to have an RSS feed, and that was an easy RSS feed.
Right, exactly. So maybe we can figure something out with Feedburner or something. But for now, if you want to check out the other forums, the other mystery forums that we have in the world, they are on the Frog Pants Network site, and you can get to them from Extra Life somehow. Or on our app, which you can read on your phone.
Yep. Download today.
Yay, I'm very excited about that. Thanks to Nicole. It's pretty awesome. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by emailing thesordandlaser@gmail.com. Swordandlaser.com, as always, is the website. And goodreads.com to follow along on the forums there. And we have some emails that we'll get to next week. We just didn't have time with all the Game of Thrones stuff. But yeah, we should definitely start a big forum thread about the show and just chat it up in there too.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
See you on Goodreads.